This weekend marks the end of the church's year. Next weekend begins with the season of Advent, the new church year. So, in one sense, this weekend is kind of like the church's New Year's Eve gathering. And just as often when people gather on New Year's Eve, they reflect on the events of the past year. They reflect on the ways in which the past year has touched life. They reflect on the high points and the low points of the past year. In many ways, the gathering on New Year's Eve is meant to be a summary celebration of all that has gone before. And that's true of the church year as well. But we celebrate today the feast of Christ the King is meant to be a summary of the entire church year that we have observed from November of last year, the beginning of Advent, through today. There are two pieces in the gospel that call for some reflection. The first piece is the kingdom. Jesus' whole purpose is to proclaim the kingdom of God. He says at the very beginning of the story, "The kingdom of God is near, repent and believe." And that's the way we began this church year with the gospel according to Mark. It is in those words that gospel story opens. And then throughout the gospel story, Jesus speaks about the kingdom of God. Well, just what is the kingdom of God? Every time we pray the Lord's Prayer, we pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." What is this kingdom for which we pray? The kingdom is not a place. So Jesus says in the gospel today to Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom can't be located. My kingdom is not geographic. My kingdom is not an earthly kingdom. My kingdom is not a nation. My kingdom is not an empire." Well, if it's not a place, then what is it? The kingdom of God is found wherever the will of God is done. So the kingdom of God is a condition, a state of being, a kind of living, a way of existing. The kingdom of God is wherever the will of God is active and being done. So one could say that in the story of the gospel, the kingdom of God is found in Jesus, the perfect revelation of God's love and God's reconciliation. That in the words and the deeds of Jesus, the kingdom is revealed. The second term in the gospel that calls for a bit of reflection is the word truth. "For this reason I came into the world, to bear witness to the truth. All those who embrace the truth will listen to my voice. It's the final word that Jesus speaks to Pilate. In the very opening of John's Gospel, we once again encounter the truth. At the very end of John's prologue, the prayer, the gospel reading that we will use at the 10:30 Mass on Christmas morning, the beginning of the story, we read, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen the glory of an only begotten Son of the Father, filled with grace and truth." Well, what is truth? Pilate asks. For you and for me, as Western people brought up in a Western culture and strongly influenced by Western philosophy and Western thought, truth has something to do with the head. Aristotle said that when what is in your head corresponds perfectly with what is outside, then you have truth. Truth is the connection between the reality I see and the thought I hold. When those mesh together, Aristotle says, you have truth. Whether that's scientific truth, or whether that's moral truth, or whether that's mathematical truth, that's where truth is. Not so for the Middle Easterner, not so for Jesus, not so for Jesus' contemporaries, not so for the gospel, not so for the scriptures. Truth has nothing to do with thought in the gospel. Truth has to do with action. In the gospel, one doesn't think the truth, one does the truth. The truth is found not in what one says, but in what one does. And so Jesus came to say to Pilate, "For this reason I came into the world, to bear witness to the truth." The truth of the kingdom, the truth of God's reconciling presence in the created universe. He comes to do the truth. And then he says to Pilate, "And all of those who embrace that truth, all of those who act as I act, all of those who live as I have shown, all of those will hear my voice." So at the end of the year, on New Year's Eve of the church year, as everything gets summarized, what the liturgy of the church is saying to us is, A, the work of Jesus, and thus the work of the church, and thus the work of you and me, is to give testimony to the kingdom, to the saving, loving, reconciling presence of God. And that we do that by acting. We do that by deeds. Now, what are the deeds? What are the deeds that announce the presence of God? What are the deeds that are the truth? Well, in St. Matthew's Gospel, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who hunger and who thirst for what is right, the kingdom of God is theirs. Blessed are those who suffer persecution for the sake of justice, theirs is the kingdom of God." At the end of St. Matthew's Gospel, as Jesus gathers all of the nations of the world and separates the population as one would separate sheep from goats, he says to them, "I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me to drink. I was the stranger and you welcomed me. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you stood by me." The works of the kingdom, the truth, is what he enunciates. To do these things is to do the truth. And when the truth is done, the kingdom is proclaimed. And he also says to us, "And the truth will set you free."